Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Over a period of 1,600 years, God inspired about 40 authors who penned what we know as the Bible. This book is far more than a collection of writings. It's the revealed Word of God, and that written revelation has the power to change the lives of its readers. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer begins a series on Changed by the Word. In this, the first of six messages, our focus is on how the Word of God converts us.
Let me begin today with a question. If I were to ask you, as I am, for you to guess the percentage of evangelical Christians, Christians who claim to be born again, people like you and me, what percentage would you think read the Bible every day? You don't have to shout your answer out loud, but would you say, well, I think 50% would? Somebody said, no, I don't know why, because you may think it's 75%. But the news gets more discouraging. Would it be 20%? No. 11%. Is it any wonder that the Church of Jesus Christ is so anemic today? Because we are not being nourished by the Word of God. And all that is going to change as a result of a special challenge we're going to lay before you today. Now, there are reasons why people don't do it. First of all, because the Bible seems to be a complicated book, 66 books in one, and you don't know where to begin, and you're indecisive. I used to think that I was indecisive, but now I'm not sure whether I am. And that's the way people are. Where do I begin? There's another reason, and that is they may read the Word, but they're not nourished by it. And we want to teach you how to be nourished by it. And so they read the Word, but it's in their mind and it's gone. And they don't think about it at all for the rest of the day. So they say it's just a waste of time. Some people are indifferent. They don't see even the relevance of the Word to life, and therefore they set it aside. And of course, in this day when we are bombarded with stimuli, all kinds of electronic gadgets. Somebody told me this past week that someone in front of them in church at Moody Church was actually playing a game on their phone during the service last week. I don't know who they are. God does, and that's sufficient for me. But we can't even concentrate anymore unless, you know, your phone is going off. Oh, there's a ding. Now who wants to talk with me? And the distractions are keeping it. And then at the bottom line, there's Satan, who wants to do everything that he possibly can to distract you and discourage you from being in the Word. And beginning today, we as a church are going to overcome all that for the glory of God. And so what you have is Christians today who think that they are going to grow in osmosis some way when they go to sleep at night. While they are sleeping, God is going to inject in them spirituality so that when they wake up, they have a heart hot for God. And they've not been in His Word at all. Maybe they opened their Bible on a Sunday or watched the verses of Scripture on a screen, and that's it. The 40-day challenge that we're going to lay out before you is transforming. Who is it for? And we'll give you, of course, some of these details, some of which those of you who are in the Moody Church here, you have them in your bulletin. If you're watching online, you can download the same instructions there. Who is this for, anyway? First of all, it's for struggling Christians. For struggling Christians. Anybody a struggling Christian? Can I see your hands, please? All right, quite a few hands went up. You'll notice that mine went up, too. Struggling Christians. You know, if you're perfect, you don't need this. But before you guess whether or not you're perfect, I am reminded of a man who said, you know, if I just had a little bit more humility, I'd be perfect. So if you fit into that category, you don't need it. But if you're a struggling Christian like I am and like you probably are, you need this. Who else is this for? Well, it's for the lapsed Christian. For the lapsed Christian, the Christian who, first of all, is so defeated by sin that they give up on the battle and just say, I'll have nothing to do with it. Or they are very angry. They're angry at other people. They're angry at God. And so they want to step away from the faith. Just this morning, I heard about a pastor who stepped away from the faith for a year. He was at a beach, and as he looked out over these beautiful surroundings, he said, I'm just going to see what it's like to live without God for a year. No prayer, no Bible reading, and he's kind of now an atheist of sorts. And guess what? He has discovered that he can find happiness and help other people find happiness without religion. Well, of course he still has a moral sense because he is created in the image of God. I had to just kind of laugh out loud when I thought of this. Here's a man who said, I'm going to do away with God. I'm not going to have anything to do with God for a year. I'm doing away with God for a year. What if God were to say, I'm doing away with you for a year? I mean, he'd be a grease spot on a rock by the beach. The very breath that he breathes is God-given. And think, if he is a believer, and I don't know that he is, but if he is, think of what he is missing in terms of fellowship with God. I wouldn't want to go a whole day without fellowship with God. Imagine what he's missing, but he doesn't know that. So that's for you. It's for people with other religions. You may be here as a Muslim or as a Hindu or some other religion, and you're kind of exploring Christianity. This is for you. This would be a wonderful way for you to have some direct access to the text of Scripture, and therefore we want you to participate as well. Now, everybody with their Bible open, of course, with your Bible open, 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, when you look at the text, what you discover is that Peter is talking about the family of God. I hope that your Bible is open. You'll notice in 1 Peter chapter 1, it talks about children in verse 14. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who has called you is holy, so be you holy in all your conduct. So we are children in the family of God. You'll notice that there is a father, of course, in the family of God, verse 17, and if you call him as father who judges impartially. So you'll notice that. Notice we are brothers. And of course, when you have the term brothers in the New Testament, it refers to sisters as well. Verse 22, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love. Well, we're brothers and sisters, so we love each other. And guess what? There are infants among us. Chapter 2, verse 1. Put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk. So we're the family of God. But the question is, how do we join the family of God? How do we get into the family of God? That's the first question now that we want to answer today. And you'll notice the words of Peter. I'm now in verse 22. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. That's the way a family is supposed to exist, with love. Now, your family wasn't perfect, and this church isn't perfect. But we are a family, and we are part of the family of God. But how did we get there? Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God, because all flesh is like grass and its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of our God, our Lord, remains forever. And this is the word, the good news, that was preached to you. All right, how do we get into the family of God? What Peter is doing here is he is contrasting natural birth with spiritual birth. He says that we were not born again with perishable seed. That's what happened when we were born the first time physically. Our fathers and our mother got together, and as a result of that relationship, What we have today is our own life, but it will die. You can look at the animals, you can look at the plants. They come and they go, and it is perishable seed. Even like the flower of the field, he says, because sometimes flowers are, they stand above the grass and they look very, very beautiful. But at the end of the day, those flowers fade and they die. That is perishable seed. But he says, when you're born into the family of God, you are not born into perishable seed. You are born with imperishable seed, with a living and the abiding word of God that abides forever. And this is the word, he says, that was preached to you. That's what happens when we are born again. Now, just like you have the seed of the Father and the ovum or the egg, and they come together, and you and I were conceived, in the very same way, God takes the Holy Spirit. Do you remember Jesus in John chapter 3 said to Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you'll not see the kingdom of God. You have to be born from above by the Spirit of God. So what God does is he takes the Word of God, he takes the Spirit of God, and he brings them together to create within us the life of God, so that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If you are a believer today, I need to emphasize the fact that God did a miracle in your heart from above. It wasn't something that you generated. It wasn't something that you participated in. It was a direct miracle of creation within you, so that after you received Jesus Christ as Savior, there was something within you that was not there previously. It's a miracle of God. My friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. Thank you so much for listening to Running to Win. It gives me an opportunity to unburden my heart and to share the deep beliefs and convictions that I have about the power of God's Word. The reason that this series of messages is particularly important is that we're going to be learning how to pray Scripture, how to meditate in the Word of God, why it is that many Christians stumble and they live a life of repeated failure, and the answer is not some experience that they haven't had as much as it is a lack of understanding of God's power and how to apply it to their life. God's power, of course, as seen in the Scriptures. And so we're going to be studying these things together, because what I'm interested in is transformation. It isn't necessary to simply hear the Word of God, though we do hear it. The question is whether or not we apply it and whether we do it. That's the transforming power. Call your friends. Tell them about Running to Win. Invite them also to listen. And then I hope that your life will be changed forever.
Erwin Lutzer, introducing The Word of God Converts Us, the first message in a series on Changed by the Word. Next time, more on how the Word of God, through the Spirit of God, causes us to experience the life of God. This 6-part series on Changed by the Word can be yours on CD as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.